can fly you out to Paris. Buy you some carrots.
And welcome to another episode of Combos with Manny. I am with my girl, Paige Lee.
Hi. I feel like you called me while I was trying to get like my camera check.
No, it's good.
Last looks.
This is realness. This is realness. For those of you, you probably, if you're a fan of the podcast, you heard her last episode. I'm sorry, I'm already kind of geeked out, because what we're going to talk about today is kind of crazy, and you may not believe it, but we had you on a year ago.
Yeah, I was actually, when I was driving over here today, I was trying to figure out, like, was it exactly, I think we're close to,
we were definitely like in quarantine, right?
Yeah, so I feel like it was almost exactly a year ago. So
oh my god,
funny. Yeah.
Okay, so a year ago we had Paige Lee on, but she was with her then
fiance.
Mm-hmm. And it was a really epic podcast about love and waiting for your one.
These laughs. Once you guys find out what we're going to talk about, like, these laughs are so dark.
It's about waiting for the one. And it was so hopeful, because me and Paige go back for a long time. And at this moment, I was there. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me paint the picture for you guys. Yeah. I get called up. You know, everyone's excited. Manny,
for my proposal.
Yes, Manny, you got to be there. I'm going to propose to Paige at church in front of the whole church.
Everybody.
I'm thinking, done. I'm there. I got to be there. This is going to be epic. We did it was a whole presentation. It was a whole thing.
It was a flash mob, y'all.
It was a flash mob.
Choreography, musical cues.
It was a thing.
It was a thing.
And me and Ann show up and we're all excited, you know, because finally, you know, like I said, I've known you for so long, and we've, you know, been through all the relationships. And so I was like, finally.
Yeah, right. I was too.
It's her turn.
Finally, it's my turn.
And then fast forward a year. And
like a year and a half.
A year and a half. And what you heard on the previous podcast, which we'll put the link at the bottom.
Yeah, I would want to I actually would want to encourage you to stop right now.
Yes.
Go watch that one.
Watch the other one.
And then come right back.
Because
and then watch this one.
It's going to make this one that much sweeter and juicier.
Just so much richer.
It's so, you're literally not going to understand what we're saying, but we're going to jump in so that way people will understand why we're giddy and laughing. So proceed with the story from the point of you're engaged.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's going well.
Mm-hmm.
COVID hits.
Yep.
Then what?
Okay. So I feel like, okay, I'm very in a very short blurb for those of you who actually are not going to go watch the previous episode. I will give you a very short backstory. So I have always wanted to get married, always wanted to find love, have never been lucky in it. And when I was 32, I met someone, and he knocked my socks off. And then fast forward to 11 months into our relationship, he proposed, and he did so by way of flash mob. Mm-hmm. I mean, my mom, my brother, I mean, my pastor.
I had her dad on FaceTime.
Yeah, my dad, like, oh, my poor dad, his flight got delayed, so he couldn't be there. And so he had my dad on, you know, FaceTime, getting all the angles. and like, so everyone I love in my life was either in the flash mob or just was there. And I got proposed to, and it was epic. It was amazing. And then, you know, did what most newly engaged people do, was like dove headfirst into wedding plans, set a date. Our date was super sentimental because it just so happened, because there was a leap year. Our anniversary is going to fall on a Saturday in 2020. And so we were like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. Start all the wedding planning. And everything, I mean, honestly, everything was going like the wedding plans were very easy. Like we found a planner very easy. We got the location that we wanted. Me and my mom took this like epic trip to New York, and she took me to Kleinfeld's, which is a super, if you've ever watched Say Yes to the Dress, that's where it takes place. And I actually, and we were just going for the experience, but I actually found my dress and it was just like amazing. Yeah, all these things happen. Like our save the dates have been sent out, like everything. Everything's moving along very smoothly. I am just so happy. This is an answer to prayer. He is an answer to prayer. I felt like I, you know, God had sent me someone who just like saw me and got me, and just I felt protected and I felt just so loved. I'd never felt so adored and so loved in my life. So then that is all. So he proposed in August of 2019. And as we all know, March 19th, 2020, we went into quarantine.
Yeah.
But at that time, everything was still fine. Like we ended up quarantining at my parents' house. It just so happened that, you know, I had moved home the week before because I was going to, my lease was up on my apartment. So I was going to, you know, live at home for 2 months until his lease was up. And then we were going to get our own place and then get married in September, live happily ever after. That's the end.
Right.
As we all know, COVID happened. COVID is still happening. and so, you know, kind of the really though in our relationship, the biggest hiccup in the beginning of COVID was really we had to postpone our wedding. So September wasn't a thing. So we had to postpone our wedding and did so for April of this year. Everything was fine. I mean, actually, we were sitting there like patting ourselves on the back. Like, look at us. Look at us kicking ass in this quarantine. Look at us just being like hashtag relationship goals. Hashtag your fave could never. Like, literally, that's what we were, just so proud of ourselves. And we were so proud because it wasn't like there weren't tensions. And I mean, we're quarantining in my parents' house. So just like moving back home, period, is right. a thing. And then we're, you know, we're in two bedrooms that like one room we've converted into like a pseudo living room with a couch and stuff like that. But we're on top of each other 24 hours a day. But we were kicking ass. So I was really proud of us. And then fast forward to, you know, what, September comes around. So our original wedding date comes and goes and we're still fine. He takes me on this like amazing weekend trip away to like make me feel special.
Yeah.
And then October, like life hit hard. So end of October, my dad had a stroke, and it was really, really bad. He's actually still recovering from that now. And so, basically in October, my entire family, we were gut punched and I don't even know who I was. I still feel like I don't know who I am. But that's also a time, right, where like your partner, like this is person I'm, you know, I've chosen to spend the rest of my life with, to walk through these hard things with me with. That's like usually the time like, hey, I can't hold myself up right now. So like,
yeah,
activate, yeah. Partnership, activate, like whatever that is. You know? And so, but instead of that happening, I just felt like things started getting really tense with us. And so kind of around like mid-November, beginning of December, I just noticed we were like just existing in different worlds. We were just like fighting all the time, completely disconnected. And I felt like something was off, but I also too was so distraught by my dad that, you know, I was like, what's going on? Like, you know, I just didn't really have the bandwidth or the capacity to try and figure out and process it all. But I am still trying to like show up however I can in my relationship. I'm actually feeling mad guilty. I'm like, I am being such a horrible partner right now. Oh, partner no. Not activated.
Yeah.
Like I felt so bad and I just was like, oh, I'm so hard right now. And he's just trying to be there for me and nothing is working. But things just kind of gradually started getting weird. So like when we got engaged, he was like super hype about like, why does the girl only get a ring? I'm spoken for too. So we got him one of those little like silicone rings and he never took that thing off. Like he wore that no matter what.
Right.
All of a sudden I look over one day, he's not wearing it no more. And it's like, it would be weird, period, but it's like, we're in quarantine, we're in COVID.
Yeah.
Like, where are you going? What Whole Foods are you going to that you can't wear your ring? And like, I noticed day one, because like women, we always know.
Yeah.
So I noticed day one, but I was like, there have been days, like I washed my hands, I put my ring down, I'm not going anywhere, and I didn't put it back on.
Right.
And that's fine, but I'm like, I'll put it back on. But then like 2 weeks went by, and I was like, oh, so we're just like not wearing it. This isn't like I put lotion on and I took it off. This is like, we're not wearing it. So one day I asked him, I was like, hey, just out of curiosity, why aren't you wearing your ring anymore? And he goes, oh, I'm just, you know, one day I just looked at it and I was just so heartbroken by the fact that we weren't married anymore, or we weren't married yet, that I just can't wear it anymore.
Wow.
Like, in my, can we just talk about the fact that in my head, I'm going, well, that sounds like bullshit. But I also don't want to be like a horrible person. So I'm like, oh, okay. So, I mean, I get that. Like, I'm sad we're not married yet either. Mm-hmm. However, I feel if we start, you know, like if we start the habit of like, oh, things are hard in our relationship, or we're going through a tough time, so that gives us reason to not wear rings, like that's setting a pretty problematic tone.
Yeah.
To which I was met with, of course you would make this about you. And I was like, oh, okay. So that became a whole thing, and that became like an argument that never got resolved. It ended up leading to like me getting so mad one day. I was like, what if I just took my ring off? And like, that's what we had. This is what we do. Took my ring off, you know, stormed out, came back. My ring was no longer where I left it. And then I was like, well, where is it? I would like my ring back. And he hits me with, you really hurt me. I'm not ready to give it to you. And I was like,
he took the ring
he
back.
He took the ring. Like, and I was like, okay. So then at that point, I'm like, obviously, we're not doing okay.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so what's happening? Because you don't want to give me the ring back. Do you still want to get married? What are you having second thoughts about our relationship? And thus began gaslighting on Trill. I mean, literally, like, you're so insecure. I, you know, like after every, you know, all I ever do is tell you how much I love you and how much like I'm here for you. And the fact that you would even question that. And I was like, well, you took my ring and you took yours off. So I'm going with what I can see. But yeah, like, and so it's like that doesn't ever really get resolved, because then now we're also dealing with like, then there's another issue of like, he, you know, we used to share locations with each other, which was his idea. I'm not one of those girls who's like, I need to know where you are at all times.
Right,
like
right.
That was his idea. I was like, you either are where you are or you're not.
Yeah.
And what will, you know, come to light will come to light. And he like stopped sharing his location. So again, in COVID, where are you going that I can't know about? And that becomes a thing. And he just tells me like, oh, I don't know, something's wrong with your phone. Like, I'm still sharing it with you. I was like, these are iPhones. They're so smart. It is not like accidentally not sharing your location with me. And little did he know, one of my best friends, she lives by herself. And so she shares her location with me. I was like, that's weird, because I can see she's at home.
Right.
I can't see you.
Right.
And then I was like, well, just turn it back on. And he was like, well, actually, now that I think about it, it's not really necessary. So I'm like, okay, so
dum, dum, dum.
You don't wear your ring anymore. And wherever you go, you don't think it's necessary that I know where you are.
Right.
Okay.
Mind you, technically, you're still technically engaged.
No, we're technically engaged. We are full-fledged engaged. Because at this point, like, I would also like to point out, at this point, like I said, we had a new date. We were getting married April 17th. So I'm full-fledged planning, like,
right.
This, you know, it was going to be smaller scale, you know, one, because of COVID, two, because of my dad. Just like, we were going to do a ceremony in my parents' backyard.
Wait, so, at this point, do you still have the dress?
I have the, oh no, Minnie, I have the dress. I also have a second dress. I went and got a second dress because we're doing a backyard dresses. Wedding. So I now have two wedding dresses, zero husbands. Yeah.
That's a movie.
It's a movie. Yeah, so I now have two wedding dresses. We're making plans, you know, to do a little ceremony in the backyard. I have, my uncle was officiating, so him and his family have bought tickets. They're flying out. Like, it's all, like, no, so we're not technically engaged. Like, we're still engaged. Because keep in mind, every time I start looking at these things and going, oh, it seems like something's wrong, he's like, you're crazy.
Right.
Everything's fine. So yeah, fast forward to, you know, Christmas happens, and then he's like, well, we need to, you know, get our own place. Like, we've been here too long. We need to get our own place. And so I start going and like scaling all of Los Angeles, finding an apartment for us. I find an apartment. We're supposed to be getting a new car. All these things happen. And in the middle of all this, he's like, well, I'm going to fly back home. He's from Colorado. I'm going to fly back home to Colorado, check on my mom, check on my daughter. And then we'll just, you know, our move-in date was scheduled for, or was going to be scheduled for when he came back. And so, but all the while in this 2 week period leading up to him going to Colorado, I start noticing he like leaves on his lunch break and then he comes back with boxes like from Box City. And then he starts putting things in the boxes and then he puts them in the car and then he drives them to storage. And I'm like, are you moving?
Because he didn't tell you anything.
He didn't tell me anything. He's just doing it. Not only is he not telling me anything, I'm crazy. Remember, my insecurities are out of control. He's blaming everything on my anxiety. Like, the anxiety that I'm having about my dad is why I'm now questioning everything about us. And he's saying things to me like, I'm not giving you any reasons to question me. Yeah, I'm not wearing my ring and I stopped sharing my location and I'm packing everything up right in front of you. But why in the world would you think that things are not okay? And yeah, and he just keeps packing. So the first time I asked, I was like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just, you know, getting rid of, you know, stuff that I'm, you know, we're in a small space. He's like, I'm just making some more room. I'm getting rid of some things. But then he like keeps packing. And then I start looking around and I'm like, oh, you've gotten rid of a lot of things. And he's like, oh, well, we're moving into an apartment. So I'm just taking everything to storage because we both have storage units in the same facility. So he was like, it'll be easier when we move to just, you know, make one stop. We'll just get all of our stuff from there. And I was like, nah, fam. That doesn't seem true. So I now am like, I mean, talk about, if I didn't have anxiety before, I have anxiety now. So every single day I'm like, what is going on? Every which way a person can ask the question, are we still getting married? Do you want to still get married? Do you still love me? What are your, check in. Let's take a pulse on our relationship. What are you thinking? Every time it was like, yeah, it's been hard, but like, you know, I know for a fact, like I love you more than anything. And like, you're who I want to marry. And of course we're still getting married and like, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, he's like, just keep your eye on the prize. It's been a hard season, but just like, we're getting there. We're getting there. Mm. We didn't get there, fam. He left for Colorado on Saturday morning. Can I also point out that he left for Colorado on a Saturday morning, but we did premarital that morning before he left. I think that's a funny detail. Yeah, it's a detail. So we woke up super early, did premarital. Then I drove him to leave me. That's like ultimately what happened. Like, I drove him to the airport, gets on the plane. I'm like, at this point, I just know in my spirit something's wrong. So I'm crying the whole way to the airport. And I just, you know, I told him, I was like, something tells me when you get out of this car, this is the last time I'm ever going to see you. And he was like, why would you even say that? Like, don't say that. I'll be back in 2 weeks. I'll be back in 2 weeks. I love you. I love you. I love you. He leaves, calls me Monday evening and says, you know, I just no longer have the bandwidth. I can't do this anymore. And I was like, I was like, you were doing this the whole time. You were leaving the whole time. And he goes, no. I had no idea. I had no idea I was going to do this. I just, you know, finally had some time to think to myself and, you know, just spontaneously came up with this thought. It's just convenient that all my stuff is already packed up and gone. I mean, and when I say packed up and gone, I just mean like, there was not like a shred of proof of his existence outside of the fact that he left any and everything that was like sentimental of us. So like, whether it was photos or, you know, sentimental gifts like I had given him or he had given me, like he left all of that behind. So I was left with all of that and he just like packed up and left, and then called me from his mama's house and said, I can't do this anymore.
At this point, guys, you're listening and you're wondering what the hell.
Yeah.
And maybe some of you have gone through relationships. The whole reason we're doing this podcast is so that we can speak on love, relationships, expectations, mm-hmm. letdowns, and how do you adjust from those letdowns. So I'd like to point that out at this midway juncture. Okay.
Oh, yeah. In case you were wondering, like, when does the love story kick in?
And a lot of you probably know or have experienced a story like this, or somewhat of a story like this, maybe not this, whatever, but it, you would think that this is where it ends.
Oh, I know.
But post him leaving, there was a whole myriad of shit that came out afterwards. Now look, if you don't believe God is real, this is a not so happy ending, but at the same time, it's like God is real.
But God is like, real.
For real, for real. But now let's take you into act two.
Yeah.
Of the story after he left, all the stuff that came out.
Right. So I'm obviously already just distraught off of the fact that, like, I have no idea what the F just happened. And how everything went down, how he was behaving the months before, like, just nothing sat right with me. And
right.
So I went into, like, Nancy Drew mode. I was just like, well, if he's not going to tell me the truth, someone is.
I'm going to find it.
I'm going to find it. And, so I actually ended up finding and reaching out to the woman he was in a relationship with prior to me. And
you found this out though, because you ended up, I don't know if this comes before or after, but you ended up realizing that on your phone, there was a bunch of people blocked on Instagram.
So in my attempt to try and find information, I'm like trying to go through like his followers. I'm like, I wouldn't even know where to start there. I'm looking through, has anyone tried, like, my message request, has anyone tried to reach out to me? And then something told me to just check, like, my, you know, blocks, like the people that I've blocked on my accounts. And I actually don't block many people.
Right.
I went there and I was like, well, who are these women?
There were multiple women blocked that you did not block.
I did not block. They were blocked, and not blocked on just, I have a couple Instagram accounts. So I have a blog account. I have my Paige Bryan account. And then I have like a production account that I ended up never using. There was the same women blocked across all three accounts. And I was like, I've never seen these people a day before in my life. Why in the world would I have blocked them? And it was most concerning because I was like, okay, say my main account, I block someone. You know, I've had it for a while. Maybe I just don't remember. But like, my blog account has only been active since January.
Right.
So I'm like,
I must have been real adamant with these people.
I must have like really subconsciously been like, you cannot enter into my life in any capacity. So that was very odd to me. But then I noticed one of the women was, I did recognize her as his ex-girlfriend, the woman he was with before me. And why that piqued my interest is because when we first started dating, so I guess like if anyone's going to ask the question, were there red flags? This would have been probably like the only and like biggest one. Her best friend sent me and my entire family messages, the same message on Instagram, trying to figure out if I was dating him.
But then
was like, oh, just so you know, he has a kid and he has a, so like, but all the information that she was giving, like thought she was spilling, like was stuff I knew.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just kind of like, and let's be real, like Instagram really puts you in a weird position because you just never know, like, is someone trying to like come and really like look out for me, or, you know, like I could be super vindictive right now and just start like writing messages to everyone in the world just out of anger if I wanted to. So it was just like a, it was a complicated thing. And it also wasn't coming directly from the girlfriend. It was coming from her friend. So I was like, is a friend just trying to like really be a, she's trying to earn her ride or die badge right now, you know? So, you know, but it wasn't something that didn't go addressed. Like we had extensive conversations about it and like all this stuff, like I said, all the information that she thought she was exposing was stuff he had told me from like day one. So I just kind of was like, well, if she was trying to like put him on blast, it didn't really work because he was truthful about mm-hmm. those things. So then it was interesting when I saw that the girlfriend was blocked, because I remember it made me go, oh, I remember thinking like it's weird her friend would reach out and not her. Mm-hmm. She did try. She tried, guys.
She was blocked.
She was blocked, but she tried. I messaged her. Which is ironic, right? Like how it all comes full circle. Like,
guys, but just as a preface, he went into her phone while right. she was not looking and blocked everyone on it. All three accounts. Talk okay, I'm just, it. I just talk wanted to it. Extend that amount of, that's intense. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, no, it's the amount of calculation that goes into that is pretty terrifying. Damn
CIA of him.
So I ended up reaching out to her, and as humbly as I possibly could, because I was like, I also now realize I'm writing you a message on Instagram, and it's been years for her. So I also was trying to be mindful of the fact that like, if there is anything painful there, like I'm not trying to come in and make you reopen this wound or anything. And she immediately was like, anything you want to know, you know, let's get on the phone, let's talk. And I was like, oh shit. Okay. So, and we proceeded to have like a 2-hour conversation. She is lovely. I mean, like literally in another world, I was like, girl, me and you, we would meet up. We would get tacos and margaritas and we would just like kiki all day long.
Yeah.
But I ended up finding out that, you know, there were certain things that I did not know about my fiance. One of them being that he had told me that they ended their relationship prior to us beginning ours. Turns out that wasn't really true.
Nope.
There was an overlap. So apparently when he, the first, 3 months of our relationship, he was still with her, living with her. And it was really bizarre because without me even giving her details, she was replaying to me the kind of things that were that had happened to me. She was like, yeah, he, you know, stopped sharing his location all of a sudden. And then, you know, he was just always gone working late. And, you know, I had a similar experience where he told me he had a work training in the middle of COVID. Y'all,
a work trip, a company work trip.
I've never been more like Diary of a Mad Black Woman in my life than I was that weekend. I was just like, I know it's not a work trip. Like, what is happening?
He's literally redoing the same exact script.
The same exact script, like with some minor changes.
She also said that he started packing stuff up out of hers.
He started packing stuff up and
moving it to some
But then like telling her that, moving it into, when I met him, he was like, oh, I'm moving into this apartment. So she didn't know that, I guess they were over.
Yeah.
Like I didn't know. And I mean, I'm finding out like they're going, he's taking her like shopping for rings while he's also telling me he's falling in love with me. He spent, our first Thanksgiving together with my family. We all went to Florida. We went to Disney World. And like, turns out he was like lying to her the whole time and telling her he was somewhere else for work. Like, so it was just like a whole mess, which tracks with the original message I got from the friend was during that trip.
Right.
So, and so just ended up having this conversation. And if you think that's not enough, I also ended up finding out that there might be potentially like more children than were originally alluded to. He's got some, he's in a little sticky situation with the child support. And I mean, even down to her being like, he might still be technically legally married. And so I was just like,
Yeah, I remember that because she said I've been paying for the lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I stopped paying.
Yeah, so she was like, "So did that get worked out?" And I was like, "I didn't even know.
I didn't even know there that was a lawyer a
thing. I didn't know that was a thing that needed to be worked out."
And he was, correct me if I'm wrong, but the car that he said that he needed to turn in.
The car that he said was his and the lease was coming up on was hers.
He took it from her.
He took it from her.
Without asking.
He kept it from her. Well, she knew that he used it. He just like wouldn't give it back. Just wouldn't give it back.
But then he was telling you that he had to turn in a lease. Guys, yeah. This is not like... Man, this is
real life.
This is real life. And yeah. we're setting you up. At the end, we're going to give you some heart. But right now, we're just letting you know how real it is out here in these streets for those dating. And I can imagine.
I know. If you are someone who's dating and you still have a lot of hope, please stop watching. I'm not the story you want to hear. I'm not the story you want
to
hear.
No, but you need to hear. This is something that people need to hear because there's always that man, there's always red flags that people see that they typically ignore. You had one, but even your parents would say post the one, there wasn't really a lot of flags. Oh, everybody mean, loved down this to kid. My
friends, like I literally... There is not a single friend who has not been like, oh, he got me too. Like everyone mm-hmm. was just so convinced that like he loves you so much. Now, like was everyone convinced he was a, you know, like every person, like your partner, you're so aware of where they're deeply flawed and, you know, where they're still growing as a human. But like there was never any doubt or concern about the authenticity and sincerity of like the depth of his love for me. That was just like not something that ever crossed anyone's mind. I was not the only one brought along for this ride. It was everyone was brought in to this ride. That was a very eye-opening conversation. Obviously walked away not really sure like how much of it was true. I mean, when I say she was lovely, like she was so gracious to me, like she could have been, and I feel like it's important to point this out because a lot of times like women can get really catty in those mm-hmm. situations, but like she was so gracious to me and I am so appreciative of that. And all she kept saying was like, I am so sorry this happened to you. You did not deserve this. I am so sorry. Like she had nothing but empathy and compassion for me. There wasn't even like, I didn't get a sense of like vindictiveness or bitterness or resentment, like at least towards me. And she even, you know, she didn't have to, but she went as far as even being like, I just want you to know there was like never a time where like I blamed you, you know, because she obviously was sitting in the chair that I'm sitting in now looking back and going, oh, shit, this is who you are.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so for her, she was like, even when I was trying to reach out, it was really just kind of like, hey, like, I see it now. I don't want this to happen to anyone else. And I get that because I, you know, feel the same way. Let me be real. I don't want this to happen to anyone else, but I feel like I'm 92% motivated by like, I just want to put this nigga on blast sometimes. And it's really hard not to. Like, sometimes it's especially because there's, you know, there are people that he, you know, walked away with. And it's interesting, like he came in and co-opted my life, right? So like all his friendships are from people he met through me.
Yeah.
Like his best friend now was someone he met through me. And like, you know, that person is not even willing to even hear like my side or,
really?
You know, like not at all. And so, yeah, like that's been really interesting. And like some people, you know, just feeling like, oh, well, we want to be there for both of you, which on one end, I understand, because also what's really important to know is like when you go through an emotional trauma, it's like not your responsibility to have to go and relive it and tell, you know, rehash the details to every single person. Mm-hmm. Like that just that's exhausting and mm-hmm. that takes a lot from you. And so, you know, there's just. I haven't, you know, there's been like a select few of people that I have shared this with and, you know, I've written about it on my blog, but even then, like I really wrote it from the perspective of like where I'm at and less centered on what he did, mm-hmm. you know, just making sure it was clear that what he did was horrible mm-hmm. and that it was traumatic. But, yeah, the details of everything is not something that I've shared with everyone, nor do I, you know, feel that I need to share with everyone. But with that also comes people being like, you know, with that also comes his narrative getting to survive, which is just like, oh, you know, I loved her, but it just didn't work out. She wore me out. And that's the narrative. I wore him out. Yeah. So
here's the thing, though, like the people that are now his friends or whatever, like were they close to you? Like, is this like a surprise, or were they just kind of like fair weather friends? Like,
they were like, I would have considered them friends, but they were definitely people that he became a lot closer to than I was, in their building of a relationship. And so, so just even him walking away and just, you know, it's not like I would much rather have preferred it like him just walk away, clean break. There's like no association to him. But like even driving over here today, like, you know, some friends from church and, you know, he took their engagement photos. And I was like, what the? Is there no loyalty?
That's always the thing. Whenever you do the breakup thing, you are struggling to find. And we do it subconsciously. Look, we do it subconsciously because we want people to be on our side. As much as we don't want to make people pick sides.
No, pick a side.
Of us want everyone to know this person is in the wrong. Right. At this point in Jecture, there is no, you know, it takes two to tango. Like, no.
Look, I have, my situation is very different. There's a very clear line in the sand. And I just feel like if you are going to continue to support him in any capacity, then like you are a person I cannot, like I have to build a boundary with you because you're not a safe place for me.
Sure.
To support him is to indirectly support what he's done.
And you're
to
not
me
calling,
and say it's okay.
You're not calling for anyone to be like negative towards him or whatever.
Don't
towards him.
Don't put money in his pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, I would. No, don't go hire him to be your photographer. Don't, you know. If you're going to say like, oh, you know, friend, sister, I'm going to show, you know, how can I be there for you? Oh, you could stop actually supporting my traumatizer. That would be great.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be awesome.
Ange did that to me a couple of times. She would stay in communication with people that like fully came after me. And I never understood it. I was like, babe, what the hell? Even though I didn't care, I was like, I don't care.
I care. In this one, I care. Like, and I think it would be different if it was just like a friend. But because this is someone I was going to marry, these are people who were going to be in my wedding. Like,
oh, God, no, that's too close.
So like the extent of.
That's too close.
It's too close. And I also still feel like it's so manipulative and calculated on his part. Right.
Because, but you never got to tell these people the story.
I mean, not everyone's been open to it. So like some people have been like, well, I don't want to, you know, I love both of you.
So they started off your friend, but somewhere in the middle, they became Switzerland.
They became his friend. And then now they support us both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So I do feel like my situation's very different. And it's unfortunate because, you know, even looking back with everything that has unfolded, you know, I've even come to find out that there were, you know, relationships with people that I love deeply that he went in and isolated me from and, you know, sabotaged me, you know, and I don't, you know, my friend Chase. And so like that, you know, finding out after the fact that, you know, he basically told him to like stay away from me. And like, that's so harmful for me. And there was, or hurtful. And, you know, there was a situation last year with my cousin, and then, you know, next thing you know, I look up and I haven't spoken to my cousin in over a year. And I was actually just talking to my therapist about this last week because I was like, I mean there's so many layers to what he's done that I think on any given day my mind like will settle on one thing and I'll just be really, you know, sad about that. And so last week for me it was just like these relationships that I cherish so deeply, and like, and you know that about me because from day one you knew I was like, my friends are my family, like you gotta rock with my family. You know, and for him to go in and intentionally create these divides and this isolation to the point where like I don't know if these relationships will ever be the same, you know. And like having someone that I love so deeply and it's such a, you know, was family to me, like Chase, and you know, in a situation where now you know, he spent years thinking that I was okay with what he did and that, you know, I, and, you know, it's just, it's a whole big mess. And then I look back and go like, well, maybe if I had reached out, or maybe if I had done this, or maybe if I had done this. And
yeah,
it's just, you know, he's just stolen time from me in more ways than one, not just from, you know, the timeline of, you know, me wanting to be a wife yeah. and have kids, but just time from my own relationships and people that I cherish. And, in some cases has, you know, changed the makeup of those relationships forever. And that's like infuriating.
I mean, and at the, but at the same time, some probably needed to, because if they can be, if they can allow themselves to be swindled that easily, then it's kind of like,
yeah, I think in those cases, for the people who are still like falling into his manipulation, like absolutely it's hurtful, but it's still like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, God is real, because he'll bring it to the light, yeah. you know, but in the other situations, like, you know, it's not someone who was swindled. It was more so out of their love for me. They were like, well, she seems really happy.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't want to, like, they sacrificed, you know, because it's not like this person was just important to me. I know that I was important to them too. So like they made that sacrifice and, you know, said like, I want her to be happy. And if yeah. this is what I have to do for her to be happy, then, you know, I don't like it, but okay.
And this is the real question, because this is like, when I think of how deep the mindfuckery goes,
yes,
I think, what does this do moving forward to someone? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, when I think about dating, and I, me and Angela was talking about it, like if we ever had to get back out on the market, obviously because one of us died, because that's the only way.
It's the only way out.
Yeah. I am usually afraid. I'm so afraid of getting out there because of how many landmines there seem to mm-hmm. be nowadays. Mm. What has it made you feel like, just emotionally? Like, are you still gung-ho about marriage and love? Are you kind of like, we always laugh about it, because on our last, we had a couple podcasts where we're like, what happened if you ended up back on the market? Would you have a hoe phase? And we're all, we're like, yeah, we'd probably have a hoe phase. At least we would try to have a hoe
yeah,
phase.
Yeah, I keep saying like, I got vaccinated. I'm going to be in these streets. Well, yeah. Maybe not the streets, but I'm going to run me a little cul-de-sac. Yeah. I'm going to run me a little cul-de-sac. Watch.
No. We were like, we're going to go crazy, because this, we're just going to act, we're just going to go crazy.
Yeah.
But in reality, like, I know you're still romantic and you're still somebody who's very sensible. Like, do you feel like it's done something that's going to take more time away from you? Like, future speaking, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's yeah. going to be like, shit, some, whoever's next is probably going to have to pay for some of this. Is that like the feeling?
If you're watching in the future, I'm so sorry.
Because I mean, yeah. do you think the right answer is to head into the next thing fully and utterly?
Here's the,
like,
crazy part. You keep saying the next thing, and
wait,
I'm
are
like,
we not even considering
I,
that?
My brain is so, I mean, it is a mind fuck, and I am hope is the most terrifying thing in the world to me right now.
Got you.
And so while, yeah, I am still me, so all the things that I think about marriage and love are still very real. I just don't think the things that I think are beautiful about marriage and love are necessarily things I'll ever get to experience. You know, just, you know, the things I went through in relationships even before him, and then you know, getting, you know, you said it before we started recording, like almost to the finish line, like you're right there, like you can yeah. see, you can see the finish line, and to realize like, oh, so the only man willing to marry me was a narcissistic sociopath. That's like being like, no one wanted me, but Ted Bundy did.
Ted Bundy thought I was cute.
Ted Bundy thought I was cute.
Oh my God.
He killed all those people, but he didn't kill me.
Right.
You know, so yeah, like hope, I don't even really, I feel like I'm gonna get emotional. I don't even really know what that looks like for me. Obviously, there's, you know, the complication of how do you ever trust another person? But what I'm finding to be probably one of the most detrimental things in what he's done to me in this situation is that prior to this, I thought I was a pretty discerning person. Like I had, you know, pretty good instincts.
You had the bullshit meter. You're like, oh, I can
did.
Tell.
I did. I could tell. Now, did I always pay attention to it? No, but I knew.
But you knew.
But I knew. And I did not see this one. I didn't see this one. So now that I don't trust me.
That is scary. Yeah.
So that's what is terrifying, because I've always looked at, like, you know, my gut, my instinct, like that's just the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And now I just feel like it's not even that I don't just trust me. Like, am I not? I just feel like I'm going to constantly be second guessing the Holy Spirit, because I'm just like, well, what did you try to tell me? And I didn't.
Right, because that's really the big question.
What did I miss? Or what it like? What was, you know? Yeah, okay. He had this imperfection, but what was deeper in it? What was deeper in it that I didn't see? Or, you know, was it because I was so close to the finish line? Did I block myself off subconsciously from seeing more? Like, I don't. I mean, you'll drive yourself crazy going down that rabbit hole, because I'll never have it. Well,
you'll drive yourself crazy trying to answer things that you can't answer. So I think
I can't answer. And like, honestly,
concerning with him.
Yeah. And everything is clear now, right? Because I have a full lens. Like, I didn't have it when I was existing in it every single day. But yeah. So the most terrifying thing is I don't trust me. And I don't trust y'all, because y'all didn't see it either. No, I'm just kidding. So,
if I was around enough, I would have saw this.
Right? No, no.
I feel like
no. I'm just kidding about that part. But I don't trust me, and so, you know, if I'm at the idea of like meeting a person, and I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, I don't, like, to me, I can't even make sense of that. So you keep saying the next person, and I'm just like, how do I don't even know how to get from where I am right now today to a space where there's a person trying to enter into my space. And like, how do I let that person in? Because one, I don't trust you. Like, I don't know. Like, hi, my name is Ben, is it? Like, that's how it feels, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm a writer. Are you?
Are you, though?
Show me proof. I need 22 references.
I don't even need the book. I want footnotes.
I want
to see the book before the book.
I want a bibliography page.
The book that was on your notebook.
Exactly. I want 22 references. I want 10 of them to be from ages 8 to 18. I want the other 10 to be from ages 18 to 32. Like, I just feel... Yeah, I think if you're not willing to give me your social security number, then you can't be trusted.
I think there's like two ways to really do this thing, okay? Because I feel like there's for sure people listening that have been swindled and duped and probably brought a lot of baggage into their next relationship. They may be in that relationship currently, and their mistrust of just people is killing their relationship. I got a very good lesson from my first love's now husband. And, you know, when they were trying to work it out, me and her ended up getting together and cheating. And I'm not a cheater. That's not me. But she was my first love and had all these emotions. And me and her hooked up while her and him were together. And he found out. And he... When I saw him, like, they set up a whole sting operation, because we came to the crib and all of them were there. Oh, and me and my boy, who were trying to run this game, showed up to a whole like house full of people there to catch us. And when I walked in, the guy just like, he just didn't look at me. He didn't say hi. He sat there. He didn't look at me while the girls kind of chew into me. And when I left that day, I was like, wow, like, she for sure picked the better man, because even though he was the one betrayed, he had enough love for her and self-control for himself to still treat me with respect. Granted, he didn't look at me, he didn't say hi to me, whatever, right. But in light of what I did, he was supposed to lay some hands on me, you know what I'm saying? Like, and he knew he could, but he didn't. And then they go on to get married, And they've been married ever since. They're going 10 years strong, like probably longer than that. And the thing that I took away from that situation, mainly from him, and I don't know if he'll ever know this, because again, we're not close, so we haven't talked. But his decision to just jump in with her and just go balls to the wall showed me that the only real way to counter mistrust or to counter a lack of love is to love even deeper. And that's what he did. And she now with him, like they're tight. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of amazed at that. And I was like, man, I guess that really is the way. If you're going to move forward, if you're choosing to jump back into love, I think the only thing you can do is jump. You're just way more now aware of how hard you can hit the floor.
Yeah.
How much it can hurt. Mm-hmm. But you'll be doing yourself a disservice if you don't jump in with everything.
Yeah.
Because then you're just like cutting yourself off at the possibility of something really great happening. I mean, it almost happened to me and Ange, because Ange was, I was paying for somebody else's mistakes. I could feel it from day one. Mm-hmm. And I remember telling the Lord, I was like, oh, no, no, no. I'm too good for this. Like, I don't pay for nobody's mistakes. You know what I'm saying? And I almost bounced on her, because I was like, fuck that. I'm not going to freaking sit here and deal with whoever hurt her. Like, it just wasn't an option for me. But I only asked because if I were in your shoes, it would be really hard for me to find the courage to do it. And I think time will help.
I mean, time, yeah, they say heals.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. No, but I think the key thing there is like everything is a choice, right? So even how I'm moving now and how I'm responding, like I definitely can't even still really wrap my head around the severity and just like the capacity of everything that's happened. And I actually don't know if I ever will. I'm starting to realize maybe a lot of that is like grace from God, just that I'm, you know, not really able to take it all in one sitting. I also realize it was hurtful, but what a gift from God it was that,
oh my God,
as soon as he called our engagement off, like all this stuff, like all the truth came to the surface. And it was, I mean, literally there was like not a day for a good month straight. I was not finding out something new. And it was just like, But I realized what an act of love that was by God, because I could also be sitting here today still like, oh my God, I miss him. Like, how can we work it out? Like, I love him. And so I feel like the longing and the desiring still of this person, that process like was very early on just like cut. And so I've just been dealing with like just the grief of what I thought it was, what I thought it was going to be, the future I thought we were going to have. And turns out we're not. But everything is a choice. And so I've been saying like healing is intentional. And so it doesn't just happen. Like, right. I know people say time heals all wounds, but it's what you do with that time.
Yep.
And so, I've been trying to be really intentional about my healing and trying to, I have no idea what, you know, love looks like for me in the future with another person, but I'm trying to build a stronger and better framework of what love looks like for me with me. Mm-hmm. And so, it's hard and it's scary, but it's scary because it requires me to show up really raw and really vulnerable every single day and just kind of ride the waves. So, you know, in the beginning, the waves were only, you know, they were crashing. Yeah. They were crashing and I was drowning and I couldn't catch my breath. And, you know, it just paralyzed by despair, like can't get up, can't eat, can't do anything. And then a friend of mine, she invited me to Costa Rica and I was like, yes, please. And so I went there and I feel like that was like a, a turning point in that it's not like everything became okay because mm-hmm. I went to Costa Rica, but just being somewhere different, being somewhere fresh, being somewhere where I was building memories that had no attachment to him. Because keep in mind, like, I'm still at my parents' house because now I'm staying until my dad, you know, comes home and to help out with him. And so I, you know, everything in there is just like a it's mm-hmm. it's this prison I feel like I'm living in. It's the space where my dad had his stroke. It's the space where, you know, we had, you know, me and him built all these memories, but then also where he, like, you know, stomped all over mm-hmm. me. So that space, just even existing in it, can be really suffocating at times. And so being able to get away and go somewhere else, and it was my first time being able to be somewhere and claim it again as, like, just mine, you know, was really helpful. And I probably, like, laughed for the first time in 2 months.
Wow.
When I was on that trip. And I remember catching myself going, like, oh, like, I laughed, but I'm still really sad. And then I had to, like, check myself and go, like, no, like, you have to, you know, be present for all the moments. So if I'm going to tell myself to be present when I'm sad, when I'm angry, when I'm confused, when I'm anxious, like, I also have to make the space to be present for, like, if there's, like, a glimmer, just a flash of joy, to, like, sit in that for as long as it exists. Don't try to, you know, stop it prematurely. And also don't try to make it last longer than it needs to as well. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, 'cause then that all just, that leads into, you know, being performative. And so, yeah. And so now I'm in a space where, like, I'm not okay, but that's also okay.
Yeah.
What happened to me is not okay. And I exist in that space and I'm honest in it. And so days when, you know, I feel good and I can laugh and, you know, we can be at the top of this podcast and laugh darkly, you know, what we're about to talk about, like, that's, you know, I cherish those moments. And those are also moments that make me feel like I'm, me. I was going to say find, like, I'm back to the old me, but I've actually been realizing, like, that, you know, whoever I was before all of this, like, she's gone.
Yeah.
Like, deuces.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been real. She's gone. So now there's, like, this rebuilding, this, you know, new framework that I'm, you know, existing in. And so, if something feels good, I let it feel good. But if it's a day or a moment or days and moments that I don't feel good, then I also let myself sit there too. And, realizing that all of that is a choice and it's all, like, leading me, or it's not leading me to my healing. I think sometimes we think of healing as, like, this destination, and it's mm-hmm. just, like, something we're existing in every single day. And then, yeah, you arrive at it. Like, I think you arrive at, you know, maybe, like, the completion of it for that season. But it's not without you having been intentional and made the choice every single day to keep showing up.
Yeah.
And so,
that's so important to know, because, but yeah, that I think I remember reading a meme about that, like, time heals all things. And the meme was like, no, it don't.
No,
and
I was it doesn't.
Like, man, I always believed that. But then when you really do think about it, like, you can spend all the time as a victim with mm-hmm. a victim mentality, or as a blaming everyone else, mm-hmm. or as a trying to figure out things that you can't figure out. Like, why did this person do it? Why did they do this? Why did they do that? Knowing that the only thing that you can ever come up with an answer is, why did you exist in that space? Why did you say yes to this or yes to that? Why did you overlook this or overlook that? Why did you? Because those you can find answers for.
Right.
And then you can move accordingly afterwards. Like, yeah, when you see,
I would
it
even go a step further and say, like, I can't even find the answers to, like, why I did anything mm-hmm. in our relationship, like, why I didn't see, why I made different choices. But I also feel like it's really powerful, like, when you can answer those questions, like, great, answer them, get some more awareness about yourself. But also, like, I've been learning a lot about the surrender of just kind of, like, it happened and I don't know why it happened, and I don't know why it happened to me, and I don't know why I didn't see it until it was made so clear, but at that point
that's
it was
funny.
Too late. I don't know why, and, like, I have to surrender to that just uncertainty and that not knowing. Like, I don't know why this happened to me and not you and Ange.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why. Not that I want that.
No.
To you guys.
My friend told me that once before, because I remember when I was in Bible college and I got handed my first heartbreak by this Canadian chick.
Yeah, the Canadians.
Freaking
am I right?
Canadians. No, I'm just kidding. she chased me for 2 weeks. was all about it, and I was not. I was like, no, I'm just, you know, I was real holy. So I was like, I'm just dating Jesus right now. I'm just dating Jesus. I know. I'm so sorry. And then one day I decided to give in. I was like, man, she's chasing me hard. I remember we went out once and I, like, you know, gave her a handshake to say bye. Cause I was like, I'm trying to be mad respectful. Like, I'm not trying to play you. I'm not trying to get anything from you. You know, it was a good time. And she like laughed at me and then went in for a kiss. I was like, man, this girl really feeling me. Maybe it's okay. Cause at this point I got out of a relationship and I was like, man, you know, I want to stay. I just want to heal. I just want to be by myself. And I kept asking God, like, God, what is this? You know, is this okay? And then finally I felt like I got released. So I finally gave into it. And 2 days later, she bounced.
Good for her.
No reason. She just bounced on me. And it was the first time in my life, I'm in college, that I've ever suffered rejection. Ever. It was the first time I didn't get what I wanted. I've never been broken up with. I know. Where it's very, you? It doesn't make me good.
Oh my God.
It does not make me braggy. It made me feel like I should have been handed disappointment a lot earlier, because what happened when I got handed that disappointment or that rejection, I reverted to middle school, elementary me. I went backwards.
Yeah.
So you have a grown ass man acting like a freaking 12-year-old because he didn't know what rejection was. He didn't know. Usually you deal with it in your primitive years and you're like, okay.
Yeah, I was rejected a lot.
You can figure it out. I'm here 23 years old and I'm like, this is my first time I was rejected, and it ruined me. And I remember feeling so stupid because I got duped. Like, I didn't understand. And I swear, I was like, God. It felt like God gave me, you know, the okay. He said, I felt peace. You know, I was like so angry. And I remember my boy Dave being like, bro, don't ever feel angry or don't ever feel bad about loving somebody truly.
Yeah.
Like, you got duped. All that means is they were better at lying than you were at loving. And it freaking ruined me.
And I would never want to switch those things
like he's like, you can't be mad that you went all in with your heart. Like, that's noble. Like, that's a noble thing for you to throw yourself out there like that. The other person was just better at lying than you were at loving. And so you saying that sometimes you won't have the answer for why you got duped, like, that's a very real thing. And there is something into surrendering to the beauty of what you offered that relationship.
Yeah.
It was your best.
And for me, I'm like, I hate what he did to me. I hate that it happened. But if I had to go back and do it all over again, I would show up exactly the same, because he wasn't real, but I was.
Yeah.
And so I can be proud of that. I don't have any shame about that. I don't have,
there's no regrets.
I don't have any regrets. And
if you showed up fake, then you could be like, well, maybe he was fake because I was fake and he got to know the fake me.
No, I was me, you know, 100% my best self, 100% my worst self, 100% my mediocre self. You know, I was me as authentically and as honestly as I could be. And I know that I loved him and I was committed and, you know, dedicated to that. And, you know, up until the day he pulled the rug out from under me, I was proud and excited and happy and ready to be his wife. And so, you know, and that's like an interesting thing too, because you're like, you want to get hurt and just be like, fuck you, I hope you die.
Yeah.
or at least that's how I feel. you know, and it's like, nothing. So even like with all the things in the beginning, you know, I was talking about like things that I found out, like, yeah, these are things that I found out, but none of that changed like who he was to me when I was in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And the person that I loved was that version. So even one thing that was really complicated was reconciling the fact that, like, the truth, I was so disconnected from the truth because it was in such contrast to what I lived in. Like, every single day I felt like I was being loved. I felt like I was being protected. I felt like I was being adored and cherished. Like, I had no idea I was being manipulated and emotionally abused and lied to and deceived. I had no idea that that was happening. And so, you can only respond to what you're given, yeah. you know? And so I know, like, I showed up with everything that I had, and he didn't. And that's, like, for him to live with. Like, I can't, like, I'm not taking that. Like, I'm not holding on to that. I am not taking that on as a burden that will not be the cross that I bear.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not responsible for his choices. I am an unfortunate, you know, recipient of the harm that his choices make, but I am not responsible for his choices. And so I won't have regret for who I was
yeah.
and how I showed up because he made the choice to not show up like I did.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's even like, and even like wrapping in this, the spiritual element of it. And like, sometimes I have such an attitude with God. Cause I'm just like, yo, I just like, don't want to see things the way you see them right now. Like, let's be real. I just don't. Cause one day I was praying and I was just really angry. And then all of a sudden my heart got all soft and I was like, God, like you're, you know, you're a God who's close to the brokenhearted and like, you hate that this happened to me. And your heart breaks for me, but your heart is also breaking for him because yeah. that's your son. And you hate to see your son in such a hurt place himself that this is, you know, this is the outcome. This is how it's mm-hmm. manifesting. Mm-hmm. And I was just, you know, it's not something that I would wish on anyone. Like I don't, you know, as long as he continues to live his life like that, he'll never experience real connection. He'll never experience true love. He'll never experience all these really beautiful things that like God created for us to abound in. Like he'll never have those things and it'll always be superficial. And that's, you know, that sucks. That sucks for a person. And I just like hated that moment because I was like, I do not want to have this understanding.
Yeah.
I want you to tell me, God, what I want you, God, is to tell me how I can murder someone, bury the body, and no one find it.
And not get caught.
And not get caught or dirty. Like, that's all. Like, that's all I want. That's what I want right now. I don't want it to be like, oh, does your heart break for him too? Oh, is he still your child? Oh, did you die on the cross for him for this?
My wife hates that about me. I always go to that place where I'm like, I'm going to understand because of the Canadian chick, because I did it with her. And I remember how much it sped up when I chose to do it because it took me 6 months of crying like a little biatch. For me to get to the place where I was like, no, choose to understand this person.
See, but I didn't choose to understand. God just like, he knows me. He's got to be forceful.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
With
yeah,
that. Because no, otherwise I'm sitting here like, you know, God spare nothing.
Yeah.
You are.
Smite him down, you mighty smiter. Vengeance is mine,
says the Lord. Like that's where how I'm wired and he's, you
but know. That's so beautiful because it's in that place of understanding where healing comes and it comes much quicker. Mm-hmm. Because you start recognizing, man, what people actually do, they're not doing it to you. They're doing it to themselves. There are some things that are obviously happening to you, i.e. if you are the recipient of a murderer.
I.e. or, like, you know, if you ask someone to marry you and the whole time you're still married and it's just like, what's your end game? Yeah. How does this end? I just want to know the ending.
There's for sure real situations like that. But for the most part, we can look and choose to understand a person. And as much as it's annoying, but I always let people know, like, look, that's actually being a little selfish because what you're doing, and you should be selfish, what you're doing is you're fast forwarding the healing process and you're getting yeah. yourself out of it sooner.
Oh, because earlier, like to your, you asked the question of like, do I feel like more time will be taken from me? Like, and that's been my prayer. Like, God, I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I think I'm old, but I'm 35 and like, let's be real. Like I was already going like, okay, so yeah, this yeah. is my window for babies. And now I'm like, okay.
Remix.
I've aged out of being a baby mama. So I just don't know. I mean, in this, you know, if I was... I've aged out of my window of like going and getting pregnant by an athlete. Like yeah. I've aged out. Just kidding. But yeah, I just, my prayer has been since day one, I was like, God, like accelerate this healing and not in a way where like you know, don't cut corners.
Right.
I want to get all the lessons, all the revelations, all the growth, all of that stuff, but accelerate it. Cause I don't have time. Like, yeah. I'm sick of waiting for the, you know, for this to happen. And so,
here's to that. No, yeah. Here's to that. I think that's I honestly feel like that's an honest and a worthy prayer. Cause it's not like you're saying, I want to fast forward all the lessons, but it is like, hey man, like I want the good now more than I want it later. And that's like legit. And I pray that he answered that prayer like swiftly.
Me too. I'm just like, you know, I don't want to go to Harvard for 4 years, but I want to go to that 8-week intensive the super rich people get to go do. Like that's what I want.
Man, I'm so glad you came and told us this story. And I'm also, you know what? Here's to all the heartbroken people out there that are going through divorces, are going
whatever. No, let me shout out the heartbroken. He's happily married. This is to all the heartbroken out there going through divorces, through breakups, engagements ending, things not turning out how you thought they were going to be.
Yes.
I see you.
Yes.
I know your pain. It sucks. We can own that it sucks. Mm-hmm. It's hard, but we can also do hard things. And what it is today is not what it's going to be tomorrow.
There we go.
You don't get to talk to us.
I'm sorry.
You do not get to talk to us. Right. You do not know our pain.
I know. I'm sorry. We love you guys for tuning in. I'm going to have Paige's info underneath. So if you want to send her well wishes. If you
want to put my Cash App.
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing now? I'm going to put my Cash App on the bottom. My heartbreak fund.
And if you want to ask, look, Paige is a really smart girl. So if you're going through it, if you're in it, hit her up. She also has a lot of music that I think can help you through it. And I will also.
And I'm also writing it all out, my whole journey, if you want to follow it.
The blog.
In my blog.
Yeah. So I'll put all the links.
All the links.
So that way you guys can get the overflow of what's happening in her life. We appreciate you guys checking this out. Even more so, I appreciate all the Patreon members. If you listen this long, it's because you're digging what we're doing. And if you're not a Patreon member, I encourage you. It's anything from $2 all the way up. It helps the podcast keep going.
If you Cash App me, I'll get it to him.
And then she'll give it to me. Yeah. And also, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe. I should always say that at the beginning, but I freaking always forget. Subscribe on YouTube. If you're listening on Apple, subscribe.
You don't have your YouTube blurb down, like, what's up, everybody?
Yeah. I always see people do it, and I'm like,
We're going to get into the content, but make sure before you do, you hit that like and subscribe button at the bottom.
We appreciate you.
We love you.
God,
let's get into it.
If you listen this far, please hit the subscribe because, I'm not good at this.
You could also just like record it and then just have it play.
That's
what you should do.
Do that and edit it in.
Yeah. And just keep it and it can and be edited in every time.
So I don't forget.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Love you guys. Thanks for being here. We out.